बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
Yeah, let's go to the 11th one. Read the translation.
Dhruva Maharaj rendered devotional service unto the Supreme, the reservoir of everything, with unrelenting force. While carrying out his devotional service to the Lord, he could see that everything is situated in him only, and that he is situated in all living entities. The Lord is called Achyuta because he never fails in his prime duty to give protection to his devotees.
Read the first 3-4 lines.
Not only did Dhruva Maharaj perform many sacrifices, but he carried on his transcendental occupation of engagement in devotional service of the Lord. The ordinary karmis who want to enjoy the results of fruitive activities are concerned only with the sacrifices and ritualistic ceremonies.
See, ordinary people like yajna more, because they like the Vedic chant. It looks very bombastic, and they see the brahmanas offering ahuti and a big function, all wearing silken clothes and all those things. It looks like a very great holy ceremony. But when it comes to devotional service, people think it's a cheap thing. They don't know. But great devotees like Dhruva, he did both. He did yajna also as an offering to Lord Vishnu. Like for example, when the brahmanas would offer Indraya Swaha, immediately, you know, great devotee kings would think that this is hand of Lord Vishnu. Yeah, so Suryaya Swaha, immediately you'll think the eye of Lord Vishnu. He remembered that the devatas in charge of the particular limb of the body, like that, which means every offering into the yajna kund was invoking devotional remembrance in the mind of Bharat Maharaj, and even Dhruva also like that. They never saw it as demigod worship. That's one point here. And 4-5 lines you can go below. And ordinary persons.
Ordinary persons cannot understand how the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, but devotee can actually see him. Not only can the devotee see him outwardly, but he can see with the spiritual vision that everything is resting in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in Bhagavad Gita, Matstani Sarvabhutani. That is the vision of Mahabhagavat. He sees everything others see. But instead of seeing merely the trees, the mountains, the cities or the sky, he sees only his worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything, because everything is resting in him only.
Yeah. See, once a farmer was carrying 3 boxes, 5 kilos each, carrying something to the village in a train. So, and the TT came and said, "You cannot, you know, carry 15 kgs, only 5 kgs are allowed. This is too heavy," something like that he said. So the farmer immediately took 2 boxes in his hand and said, "Sorry sir, only one I will keep in the train, rest 2 I will carry," he said. So the TT laughed at him. "Okay, you may carry the rest 2, but your weight who is carrying?" Correct, no? The train is only carrying, correct, no? So the farmer was foolishly thinking that once I carry it away, then it's not kept in the train, because I am holding it, he thought. Similarly, foolish living in it is think, you know, things are dependent on me, but they don't know they are dependent on the Lord. Correct, na? Ultimately. Therefore, the whole creation is dependent on Krishna only. That is the point he is saying here. All the trees, the mountains, the sky, and everything is dependent on the Lord. That verse is there, na? Javsa chandrarka nakshatrakam disho bhur maho dadihi vasudevasya viryena vidridani mahatmanaha Sasurasura Gandharvasayakshoragarakshasam Jagatvashevartatedam Krishnasya Sacharacharam. See, this verse includes so many things. It says the sky, the moon, the sun, the stars, the ocean, the mountains, the earth, and all types of living beings like the humans and the devatas and the Gandharvas and Yakshas and Kinnaras and Vidyadharas and Charanas and everybody, Chara, Achara, they are all in vash of Krishna. They are always in the grip of Krishna, it says. And read further.
The vision of Mahabhagavat. In summary, a Mahabhagavat, a highly elevated pure devotee, sees the Lord everywhere, as well as within the heart of everyone. This is possible for the devotees who have developed elevated devotional service to the Lord. As stated in
Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilavachanena, he is saying. So, this is one repeating theme in Ishopanishad as well as Bhagavad Gita also, that we should see the universe as resting in the Lord, and the Lord permeating everything within the universe. Both we have to say. Yamam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Cha Mayi Pashyati. Mayi means in me, Krishna says. So, whole universe is resting in Krishna. You know, this Pingala, in the 11th canto, she had one vision. In that vision, she saw one black cobra was opening the mouth like this. And just close to the mouth, she saw the globe, earth. She saw the whole earth. It was appearing like it's going to devour the earth. And this is the vision that Pingala got. What is the meaning of this? This Kala Uraga represents the time, which is chasing everybody in the globe. And it's going to devour the life of everybody. So like that she saw. So she is getting a vision of how Kala is acting in this world on everyone. Similarly, Prabhupada says a vision of a devotee means we should know that everything in this world is moving. You know that was Madhubayat Vati Vatoyam Suryastapati Madhubayat, correct? Varshati Indra Dahati Agnir Mutushcharti Madhubayat. Everything is happening like Prabhupada says, the Surya is he's saying 93 million miles away, like that he says. And he's saying that it is 16,000 miles in 1 second it is moving. So Prabhupada is asking in one of his lectures, scientists are saying it is rotating at a speed of 16,000 miles per second. Who has put it there? Did you put it? Did I put it? Did any of us put it? It is put there and it is moving very fastly. And also, the heat you can see, now it is 35 or 40 degrees Celsius. You can see that, you know, the heat is giving us warmth. It is not burning down any human being, nor is it freezing any human being by going far away. Isn't it? So, and every morning comes on time. You will never find one day, you know, 8 o'clock sun coming, running, rubbing his eyes. Sorry, I'm a little late today, I'm tired. You never find like that. Every morning you find pakka. And then Prabhupada says, why? Yasya Ajnaya Brahmati Sambhrata Kalacha. Yasya Ajnaya. Yasya means Govinda. On Lord Govinda's order, he comes in the morning. Like that he says. What is that verse? Yachakshuresha Savita Sakalagrahanam Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Teja. Ashesha Teja. Ashesha Teja means it never gets exhausted. Goes on and on and on, year after, millions of years it has been going on like that. Ashesha Teja. And another word is Sakala Grahanam Raja. He is the king of all the grahas. Because he is giving light to all the grahas, he is saying. And then he is saying, Yasya Ajnaya, by his Ajna, by whose Ajna it is rotating. That Govinda I bow down to, he says. See, these are all practical truths we can see with our eyes. Yasya Ajnaya, Brahmati. Brahmati means it moves. Also, if you have studied the 5th canto, you read the chapter on rotation of the sun. In a sun, when it is going up, no, like this, it goes like this, no? It comes like this. When it goes very slowly, it goes. While coming, it comes very fast. You know that? How many of you know it? In 5th canto, you study that. When it's going, it will go a bit slowly, it will go. Going up is difficult. When coming down, it comes very fast. So that is mentioned in the 5th canto. That means the speed of the sun is not same while going up and coming down. That means somebody is adjusting the speed, no? Correct, no? Somebody is controlling it. See, if something is going at the same speed also, you may think it's automatic, you may think. Correct, no? Here somebody is varying the speed also. Only we don't know who this is, the fellow varying it. That is Govinda Madhipurusham, he says. So you read the 5th canto, you will see that. He will come, Pavaneshwar Prabhu will come to teach 5th canto. So he will bring a model also. When he is rotating, you will see they have put a varying gear and everything they have put. To move it. While going up, it has to go slow. They made a whole setup of this thing. Cosmic this thing. So, Vedic cosmology. In this way, not only the sun, the seasons are changing. And there are seasonal fruits coming also. Accordingly. And the rains are showering. So, in this way, how the nature is dependent on the Lord, And so three things I have told you now. One thing I told you is, know the tishta tada virat, that I showed you, correct? There how the whole creation is dependent on the Lord, one thing. Now second thing I told elaborately about the sun now. And similarly we can see about everything. And also the sun and moon looking at the nature, glancing at the nature. And so the prakriti is dependent on the Lord, but Lord is not attached to prakriti. That's the point. So a devotee is able to perceive that very clearly. He says, such a vision is called what? Vision of? Yeah. Now go to the 12th one.
Tamevam shila sampannam
brahmanyam dina vatsalam koptaram dharma setunam me nire pitaram prajah. Translation.
Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord and very kind to the poor and innocent. And he protected religious principles. With all his qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all citizens.
Yeah, you can see your Subodhana Guide. 12th verse, you see. Tam eva shila sampannam is endowed with all godly qualities. Brahmanyam means respectful to Brahmanas. Dina vatsalam, kind to the poor. Goptaram, protector of Dharma Setunam, of all the religious principles. Menire, he considered Pitaram Prajaha. He was considered as father by the citizens. So these are all the qualities of Dhruva in dealing with the Praja. If you read the purport,
The personal qualities of Dhruva Maharaj described herein are the exemplary qualities of a saintly king. Not only a king, but also the leaders of modern democratic or impersonal government must be qualified with all these godly characteristics. Then the citizens of the state can be happy. It is clearly stated here that the citizens thought of Dhruva Maharaj as their father, as a child, depending on able father, is completely satisfied. So the citizens of state, being protected by the state or the king, should remain satisfied in every respect. At present moment, however, there is no guarantee by the government of even primary necessities of life in the state, namely the protection of lives and property of citizens.
Yeah, first the protection of life is more important than property also. Anytime terrorists can break in and killing so many people, shooting. Similarly, the thieves and rogues are looting the public, and they may even stab and kill the public also. So there is a fear of, nowadays sometimes when old people are living in homes, they have no sons, daughters are abroad. You know, thieves break into the houses, loot the property and kill the people and go away. So there is a great threat for even very life itself, Prabhupada is saying. So, and secondly, after the life is properly protected, there is no protection for the property of people. Because if you have a land, somebody encroaches the land, correct? They put a jhopadi patti or something. And if you have to drive him, you have to go to court, and the court will not... going to court means it's as good as gone. Because, you know, 10 years the cases are not ended. Things are delayed. And that Prabhupada is saying below. If you see, you know, somewhere in the middle Prabhupada is saying, the administrators simply sit in their administrative post and say no to every request. As if they were paid to say no to the citizens. They are given salary. Like nowadays, if you see, like one boy lost a laptop, you know. Then immediately he ran to the police station. They told him to write a report. They very faithfully take a FIR and keep it. FIR will be peacefully sleeping there. No action is taken because the person who steals the laptop gives a share to the police also. Then how will the police catch and give? They say, "Theek hai, theek, likh diya na, chup chup, nikal jao. Bas, we have taken the report from you, that's all." So therefore, Prabhupada is saying, they are as if they are paid to say no to citizens. Like that he is saying. That's the situation of modern day society. There is now no protection of life and no protection of properties of the citizens. Like that he says. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj, how he was? Brahmanyam, very devoted to Brahmanas, who engage in study of the Vedas and worship the Lord. They are always busy propagating Krishna consciousness. So he was, Dhruva Maharaj was very inclined to them. And at the present moment, Prabhupada is saying, no state or government support such movements like our ISKCON. And it's very difficult to find such qualities, Prabhupada says. And then Deena Vatsalam means the state head should be very kind to the innocent. Unfortunately, in this age, the state agents and the presidents draw good salaries from the state and they pose themselves as very pious, but they allow the running of slaughterhouses where innocent animals are killed. So Deena Vatsalam means they should be sympathetic to the cows and the children who are aborted in the womb. They should be sympathetic to such creatures, especially 5 weaklings of society, like the women, the children, the old people, brahmanas and cows. So the kshatriya should protect them. That's the meaning of goptaram, dharma setunam, like that he says. Considering all these points, the people today have no alternative but take to Krishna consciousness for the protection of religion, life and property. He's saying. Okay, 13th verse translation please.
Dhruva Maharaj ruled over this planet for 36,000 years. He diminished the reactions of pious activities by enjoyment, and by practicing austerities, he diminished inauspicious reactions.
Yeah. So, Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is there. Dhruva desired to destroy the sinful reactions only out of humility. Actually, he did not have any pious or sinful reactions since he had developed Krishna Prem already. A devotee is not concerned with the enjoyment or distress, but simply desires to execute bhakti, he says. See, it's not only in Dhruva, even in Bharata also it is said that Bharata diminished his pious credits by enjoying the royal opulences, it is said. Actually, even we all also, if you are getting comforts and luxuries in life, we are diminishing what? Pious credits. And if sufferings are coming now, we are diminishing? Impious credits, like that it is said. But once we become devotees, it's immaterial whether you are having comforts or suffering, because devotee, what is that verse? Tomara sevaya dukkha yata hoy sahito parama sukha, is saying. So in your service, my lord, if suffering comes, that is a great joy for me, he says. So devotees don't, so Dhruva also didn't care about sukha dukkha. Go to the 14th one verse. This is a very important verse. See the theme, Krishna bhajan versus worldly duty. That is the theme in the 14th one. Evam bahusavam kalam mahatma vichalendriyah trivarga upajikam nitva putrayadan ripasanam. Translation.
The self-controlled great soul, Dhruva Maharaj, thus passed many years favorably executing 3 kinds of worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development and satisfaction of all material desires. Thereafter, he handed over the charge of the royal throne to his son.
Yeah, correct. Read a few lines.
Perfection of materialistic life is suitably attained by the process of observing religious principles. This leads automatically to successful economic development, and thus there is no difficulty in satisfying all material desires.
That's dharma artha kama moksha. Prabhupada is saying, if you do dharma, you get artha. When you get artha, you can fulfill kama. That's what he is saying. Since
Dhruva Maharaj as a king had to keep up his status quo, or it would not have been possible to rule over the people in general, he did it perfectly.
Yeah, he is saying he had to keep up his status quo. It would not have been possible to rule over the people in general. So this has a deep meaning. What is it? If you only emphasize spirituality as the life's goal without caring for the food, clothing, shelter of the people in general, there will be chaos in this world. Imagine, for example, Prabhupada started ISKCON society. So he never cared for arranging for prasadam. He never cared for arranging accommodation. He never cared for arranging clothing and everything. He tells the people, you just be, come and dedicate your life. And how can people do it? Because this basic necessities, mundane ground level necessities are very vital for the people. So therefore, if you go to the, I have a PowerPoint with me on tribal preaching, which is, there is a new thing which has started now in ISKCON called ISKCON Tribal Initiative. ISKCON Tribal Initiative. So in the north, east, Assam and other places, our ISKCON has started going for tribal preaching now. So, but when you go to tribal places, many, many villages, if you see, they are pathetic situation. They have no proper food, they have no proper water supply, and they have no schools, no education. So, children are in very pathetic situation. So, what they have, five goals they have. The health should be good for the people first. So, they have arranged for some health care. Then, they should have education. So, the school, what they have done for the school, they have just taken empty ground and put patra only. Patra means made of leaf. Leaf patra, like palm tree, palm leaf. You can make like this, they make now. So, they put patra only. That make patra and make a school. And Hare Krishna school, children are wearing tilak. And they are teaching them some outside subjects as well as Krishna consciousness. I have the PowerPoint with me. If anybody wants, you can see it. Our His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj is doing. Our Mukunda Leela Prabhu from Calcutta is also assisting him in that. They are doing it. So, now when you preach there are some rich ladies from Calcutta want to help the poor. So, she wants to give blankets. So, they connect her. Okay, come to our tribal place. You give out blankets and we will chant Hare Krishna. So, they teach them chanting Hare Krishna, taking mala and doing japa. Many have got initiated also now amongst tribals. They become initiated devotees. So, any of you is eager to see, I can give you a PowerPoint. I have a PPT with me. I got the PPT with me. So, but why I was telling, here he says here, as a king, he had to keep up his status quo or it would not have been possible to rule over the people in general. Therefore, he did it perfectly. That means he has to do dharma, artha, kama if he has to be a king. He can't say that, I am a devotee of the Lord, I will chant and dance. Whether you got food or not, I don't know. Imagine, you tell all the kitchen devotees, throw everything and come and chant and dance. And who will give food? I think Krishna will supply, no problem. That kind of, it's called avadut. Avadut behavior will not do. Therefore, organization and intelligence, Prabhupada said. Even if ISKCON has to succeed, everything should be in place. There should be enough money to run a community project. There should be nice prasad should be supplied. And the deity worship should be pakka, perfectly done. And the kind of, we offer how many offerings a day to deity? 6 offerings a day. And dress of the Lord is changed 2 times a day. You can see it all requires organization. So, Dhruva Maharaj also perfectly ruled over the world. And read further, but as soon as
he saw that his son was grown up and could take charge of the royal throne, he immediately handed over the charge and retired from all material engagements.
Read further.
One word used here is very significant, avichalendriya, which means that he was not disturbed by the agitation of the senses, nor was his sensory power diminished. Although in the years he was a very old man. Since he ruled over the world for 36,000 years, naturally one may conclude that he became very, very old. But factually his senses were very young. And yet he was not interested in sense gratification. In other words, he remained self-controlled. He performed his duties perfectly according to the materialistic way. That is the way of behavior of great devotees. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, was the son of a very rich man. Although he had no interest in enjoying material happiness, when he was entrusted with doing something in managing the state, he did it perfectly. Srila Gaurasundar advised him, "From within, keep yourself and your mind completely aloof, but externally, execute the material duties just as they need to be done." This transcendental position can be achieved by devotees only, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, while others, such as yogis, try to control their senses by force. Devotees, even though possessing full sensory powers, do not use them because they engage in higher transcendental activities.
Yeah, so 2 points are very important here. See, as I have given the heading, Krishna Bhajan versus worldly duty. For example, in our youth preaching also, we have a voice center where it is run almost like a mini ISKCON temple. You have to worry about drinking water supply, you have to worry about electricity, you have to worry about bringing gas cylinder, you have to worry about bringing grocery, and you have to get cook who often runs away. If cook runs away, then you have to cook yourself, isn't it? The kitchen has to be kept clean. and kitchen is the place which gets dirtiest, because of oil and cutting sabji and so much of, unless you have to keep on cleaning it all day, morning to night, isn't it? Yeah, and all these things, and not only that, and you have to make the study room very nice and make sure, and the boys will come with so many problems. Nowadays boys have more problem because they are always having mobile and seeing all nonsense all over the world. They come with problems. They become naughty and come up with problems. So counseling them like mother and father. So sometimes the brahmachari may think, what am I doing? You know, I came to practice devotion service, and I am, I am cooking in the kitchen, and I am cleaning and washing, and these fellows are coming and putting all garbage of the world on my head. I have to care for them. So this type of duty sometimes are very laborious duty, painful duty. But Prabhupada says, but the end result of this duty is beautiful. He says, what is beautiful? All boys wear dhoti kurta and tilak, hari bol, they dance. Then you feel satisfied. Very wonderful. So now if a preacher says that, I don't like to do all this nonsense, this is all mundane thing, I don't like to do all these things, I will just go to the hostel and boys should just come sit and hear the lecture and go. Who will come? Nobody will come. Isn't it? Yeah. Therefore, we have written Krishna Bhajan versus worldly duty. We have to have a balance between the two. We have seen in Pune also, Karnataka Prabhu was running this Rajadham boys. Similarly, Amal Mahaprabhu was running the Chennai center. I have witnessed these places. Radhapuram Prabhu running this GGD. Some of the successful centers, my observation is, they are very meticulous and attentive to the material side, material needs of the boys also. Like for example, you go and see the study room, how it is. Go and see the kitchen and see the quality of prasad. See the quality of the residing place, residence, how they made, isn't it? Yeah. Similarly, in our NITK also, they made a beautiful long center, very beautiful. So those devotees who have paid and also paying attention to the studies of the students, if you label it as a mundane thing, if they don't score well, then that affects the devotional service also. Therefore, here he is saying Dhruva Maharaj did not label things as material, and he did not become irresponsible in caring for the public. So dharma, artha, kam, those things also, there should be religiosity, there should be artha, wealth, and people have desires. And we have to find out how to keep the people materially and spiritually happy. Both are important. Actually, material happiness is not counted in pampering, because there are some basic needs people have, correct? No? And some places I have seen, if you go to the bathroom, same problem will be there. They don't have anything to keep the soap, For keeping soap, there is no place. For putting towel, there is no place. And it will be like that for 10 years. They'll make sure they don't change it. Correct, no? So actually one should think about how to make our facilities better. Nowadays people build very beautiful houses, correct, no? Neat and clean and what flooring and what. So if devotees don't create nice metal facilities for the visiting boys, if the place is looking very hanky-panky, then the boys will think, these fellows are not very cultured, they will not join. Correct, no? But on the other hand, if material facility is very first class, but there is nothing devotional going on, kirtan is very low tone, and there are no proper lectures going on, there is over emphasis on material life, then we find that place dries up. So we need a blend of both. So Dhruva Maharaj was a pure devotee, and he could make the blend. Even in NVCC, although the temple hall program is spiritually very vibrant, devotees chant and everything, but material facilities are also no less. We have such a big hall, we are able to sit and have a nice katha here, you see. We have guest house, we have Govindas, we have pond. There are many people who want to come to Pune because first thing what they see, it's not that they see, lectures going on here. That also is there. But the first thing they will say, right next to temple, there is a grihastha community. We will get nice company for our children, and our wife will get her companions, and husband will get his companions. They consider those things more than the temple also. That's one of the first things. If I live in this community, then there are many grihasthas with whom I can connect and take care. Like that they think. Then they will say, temple is also very huge, very beautiful, very attractive deities, a nice kirtan, many visiting Vaishnavas coming, and there's a festivals are celebrated. And if you cannot cook at home, Govindas is there. Correct, no? They consider various things. Actually, I am just guessing what all they may be thinking, but you can ask Grihasthas. Correct, no? If you ask Grihastha devotees, they can tell you what considerations they do. It's not that only lecture is the only thing, or the morning program is the only thing. That may be one of the things. Correct, no? Therefore, he is saying balance between... So, Raghunath Das was told, meditate on Krishna internally, manage your business externally. Both instructions were given to him. Externally, be like a pound son, and La Prabhupada says, pounds and shillong man. Which means, you know, count money and look like a baniya. But internally, be a Krishna bhakta, he said. So, many times, this should be taught to our students also who are working. Because sometimes boys either become totally materialistic or become totally spiritual. When they become totally spiritual, parents are screaming. When they become totally materialistic, devotees are screaming. And they are wondering why both are screaming. Correct? So you have to, this purport you can note down. Tell them this number. What is it? 4, 12, 14. 4, 12, 14 teaches how to balance both. Very nice. This is delicate balance.
Manyamana idam vishvam maya rachitam atmani avidya rachita svapna gandharva nagaropamam nagaropam gandharva nagaropamam.
Srila Dhruva Maharaj realized that this cosmic manifestation bewilders living entities like a dream or phantasmagoria, because it is a creation of the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah. The middle of the purport, 5-6 lines later, Prabhupada says, the devotee knows well that the mental cognition, the temporary illusory representation appearing to be truth. It's like phantasmagoria. But behind the shadow creation, there is a reality, spiritual world. The devotee is interested in the spiritual world, not its shadow. That's the point. See, I have written this one. Devotee is interested in spiritual world, not its shadow. So, sometimes spiritual is thinking that this material world is only a shadow. I have to be interested in spiritual world. So, they neglect the material duties. Like a woman, for example, also. A woman has her duties to children, her duties to husband, her duties to in-laws. Similarly, a man has to go to office, he has his duties to office and family duties, and he has devotional duties. So a man has three duties, professional duty, devotional duty, family duty. He has to do all the three. Similarly, woman has duties to all the relatives, children at home, and her devotional duties also. So sometimes if one becomes, one thinks spiritual world is the only goal, then the material world is simply a shadow. So this Dhruva Maharaj realized when he took Vanaprastha. Correct, no? He took Vanaprastha, now he left now. Then this contemplation is very good. The material world is only a shadow. Spiritual world is a real substance. Just focus on it. But when one is living in the world, if one is considering the material duties as a shadow or useless, then one will not be able to take good care of that. Imagine if a wife early morning leaves home and comes to temple and the husband has to cook himself. You'll get fed up, correct? You will say, what type of samsara is this? Now I have to cook for my wife also, me also, and children also, everything. So you will find there is a great challenge in this while living in samsara, how to balance between the material duties and the spiritual duties. One has to keep a good balance between the two. So here also he says, in the previous verse, there was a stress on the balance. Whereas in this verse, he has got into detachment mode now. Because he has finished his duties now. No more material duties now. Now he can focus on spirituality fully. In the same manner, in our organization also, I used to tell even in Kunjibari temple that, you know, devotees who are joining at the age of 25, you know, they should work very hard with their body. And then when they become 28, 30, they become little senior. Then they make plans with the mind. Say they become managers, they become HODs, department heads. And then they have to use their mind to make plans. And they should have a group of devotees who work very hard, put their sweat and toil. And when they get even more older, they use their intelligence to think of how to expand this movement and cast a vision. More and more newer visions, how to expand the society. and they have to take care of many, many departments, many, many groups of people, many, many departments like that. And as they become even more older, senior, they exceed the age of 40, then they have to become SOI, as we call it, servant of the servant. That means they focus mostly on spirituality. Spirituality should be their main role they should play. That means they study Shastra, assimilate, share, and then rest of the organizational thinking, planning, expanding, everything is done by the younger devotees. So this is a very nice way of evolving as a devotee. And there is a reason for it also. Like if Srila Prabhupada said, in the beginning he was doing everything. He was doing cooking, cleaning, washing, and he was also worshipping the deities, and he was also, you know, managing ISKCON. Gradually when GBCs came, what Prabhupada did? He handed over the management and everything to GBCs. And he said, I want time for writing. And then he would write the books, and he would go. Whenever he went to a center, morning he would give lecture to devotees, and evening he would give lecture to the public, new public he would give. And daytime, the presidents and other people would ask him doubts about how to solve this problem, that problem. He would give them managerial advice. And he also would take care of his body by massaging, with oil massage, sun bath, and, you know, keeping himself fit and healthy to serve the devotees. Like that. So Prabhupada was very, very well planned. But I am finding in some places, the top leader, he has spent 10, 20, 30 years, but there are no devotees. So the whole burden comes on the top man only, and he has got a 20, 25 keys in his key bunch. If you want Mahaprasad, he only has to go and open the Mahaprasad from deity room. And if you want books from Jivadaya, he will only go and open the books from Jivadaya, like that. Is it a good management? It's not a very good management. Here you find Dhruva Maharaj was personally involved. Later on his sons grew up. When he found that they are very competent, capable, he has engaged his sons. And then what is he doing? He is taking vanaprastha. And now he is thinking this world is like a shadow. It is ephemeral, it is temporary. Then he is focusing on the Supreme fully. So, Prabhupada many times said, Ramakrishna Mission has a very good management system. We should take some tips from there. Prabhupada says that. So, Gaurang Prabhu and me, we were once discussing on this. I had heard certain things about Ramakrishna Mission which Gauranga Prabhu confirmed, because Gauranga Prabhu personally visited Belur Math in Bengal. So I had heard about Belur Math, and he said it is true. You know what is it? The oldest of the gurus in Ramakrishna Mission, they beyond a certain age like 60 or 70, they are sent to Belur Math near Bengal. So they stay there, and PDC, what we call Yellow Brigade, as soon as people join Ramakrishna Mission, they are all sent to Belur Math. So the youngest of the devotees and the oldest of the people, both are made to stay in the same place in Belur Math. So they are given 3 years training there. So you can imagine the oldest ripe mangoes are giving training to the kacha mangoes. Nice it is, no? It's a good system. And then when they are trained for 3 years, after that every temple has to give a petition that we want this many devotees for our temple and these are the services. So they will send, generally they send, if you are Telugu speaking, they send you to Andhra. And if you are Hindi speaking, to North. Like that they send generally. And you don't even know. They send them with I card and everything. Whoever is giving, it's not like everybody can join the local, nobody joins local temple. Local temple, if somebody comes here, immediately we send to Belur Math for training. First 3 years they train like that. And then after sending them, one temple is given only 15 devotees only. If it is a medium-sized temple. Big temples are given 25-30. But they say, if you give more than 25-30, they say that it is not good. Because then rest of the people relax. They will not do enough. One big temple is 30 and small temple is 15. That's all they give. So they have this system going on for years together. It's working very well. And also they don't send anyone out without training. 3 years training they give. Then only they send out. And one sannyasi, Ramakrishna Mission sannyasi, I met him in the flight, sitting next to me. So I was asking him some questions. So he said, when they join, they also wear white. After 5 years, they are given saffron. After 10 years, they are given danda, sannyas. It's a standard thing, if somebody has stayed. So they have all things laid out, very good systems for their. So therefore, Prabhupada said, systems are very important to take care of people, and as people get older and older, they should be more in touch with spirit and less in touch with matter. Although Prabhupada said, I am myself handling money and you know, management and everything, you will find several letters of Prabhupada requesting devotees, please, you know, take care of the administration so that I can do my preaching, reading, writing. Prabhupada several times expressed that. So, therefore, and what is the beauty, if the grown-up people, the oldest of the people are seen to be delighting in spirit, then many of the younger ones will also take that example. They will see that, oh, this is a good example. You know, then they understand one thing. You don't need anything of the world to be happy. You only need Krishna. If these fellows can be happy only with Krishna, then when I get old, I can also be happy. Imagine, for example, I am 75-year-old and I am chasing behind you to manage this, manage that. I want to manage money, I want to manage, you know. You understand, no? So if I am too much interested, it's not very good sign it is. So therefore, in GBC there was one big talk. They wanted to divide GBC into two parts. They said, either you be a guru and then in that case, you can be a grihastha guru also, like Sankarshana Adhikari Prabhu also is a guru. If you are a guru, you will do only spiritual activity. And then, if you are a GBC, you will only do managerial activity. Understand, no? But both of them will come together, spiritual gurus and managerial GBC together, to discuss together and come up with a plan. But this is only in paper now. They have not yet, they have not yet made it in ISKCON. Right now, everything is a mess now. People who are gurus also are managing also, and those who are managing are gurus also, both, it's like that. But they have a plan in future that those who are completely focusing on spiritual without any administrative role, that is one type of role, and the administrative role should be taken by those who want to administrate. So at that time some people had made a choice. They said, I will give up my guruship and I will take managership. Some said, I feel myself more as a manager, some people said. Some people said, oh, I have a choice. I would like to be a spiritualist only spiritual part. I will do Brahminical role. And management somebody else can take. Like that, they had a talk. So, the idea is, here you see, when he takes Vanaprastha, he has a complete spiritual vision. He says here, temporary, illusory representation appearing to be truth. It's a phantasmagoria. But behind the shadow creation, there is reality of spiritual world. Which means, you can see, are you interested in shadow or the object? Like you go to meet somebody, will you talk to the shadow or talk to the person? Correct, no? You have nothing to give and take with your shadow. You are not interested in the person. So Krishna is absolute truth, the real person. And his shadow is his Bahiranga Shakti. So when we can clearly see this, you may be living in the shadow of the material world, but your whole chitta is fixed on Krishna only. Because you only have given and take with him. And the material existence exists as a, you know, as a side thing for you. It is not of, so that goes to the background. For Dhruva also it went like that. So now it is time now. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.